Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
We do have some serious headlines to talk about. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I know this is something you care deeply about. And there's this brand new study that's looking between the connection with menopause and feelings of depression. Break this down
for
us.
And menopause and perimenopause, that key transition, and associated mental health issues. So let's break it down. This was an interesting study we call a meta-analysis. It looked at multiple other studies, around 12,000 women across all stages of menopause, so a little perimenopause and then postmenopause. And what they found is that perimenopausal stage women, which by the way can start in a woman's 30s, had a 40% increased risk of depressive symptoms versus women who were premenopausal. In the postmenopausal age group, that's after, on average, age 55, after periods have stopped, they didn't see any associated risk changes for depression. There is a theory behind this in terms of physiology. There are estrogen and progesterone receptors in the brain. And we know that any major reproductive life stage, you can see, obviously, psychological and mental health issues. It's very important now that we're looking at this particular age group when you talk about something like depression.
So what are the options when it comes to treatment?
Well, I think the two biggest, most obvious ones, you can either treat the depression primarily with medication and or therapy, or you could treat the hormonal stage of perimenopause, or you could do both. So the bottom line is women need to talk to their healthcare provider about this because it's 2024. And suffering is out.
Start that conversation. Yeah. All right, Doc, thank you very much. Let's check in now with ABC's Perry Russum with a look at your latest headlines. Good afternoon to you, Perry.
Hey, guys, we begin with the pro-Palestinian campus protest boiling over, the NYPD clearing Hamilton Hall at Columbia University. A SWAT team rolling in last night, police forming a perimeter. The university says the group that was barricading the building included people not connected with the school. Hundreds of people have been arrested, and then there were dueling crowds squaring off on the campus of UCLA overnight. Violent clashes there, as you can see there from those pictures, and at the University of Texas. Former President Donald Trump held in contempt in order to pay a $9,000 fine for violating the judge's gag order in his hush money criminal trial in New York. There's another hearing tomorrow on more violations, and the judge is warning Trump that he risks jail time if he does it again. Trump denies all wrongdoing in this case. And the new warning from the FBI about grandparent scams. Scammers stealing nearly $3.5 billion from older people last year. That's up $300 million from 2022. The DOJ is charging 16 people in the Dominican Republic and U.S. Just yesterday, the agency is issuing caution around unsolicited phone calls, mailings, and door-to-door offers. And they say do not give out personal information over the phone, mail, or internet. The Biden administration taking the first step to reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug. Since 1970, it's been considered a Schedule I substance alongside heroin and ecstasy. The administration proposing if you move to Schedule III with ketamine, testosterone, and Tylenol with codeine. All right, let's go now to Ginger Z with a look at your latest weather.
April ended with another deadly tornado. This one in Westmoreland, Kansas. You can see the rope out there and the damage from that tornado. Unfortunately, that was one of 13 reported. And as we go into May, we're going to see more. Today, it is Woodward, Oklahoma, Dodge City, Kansas, all the way down into Texas. We've got that threat for not just giant hail, which we also saw yesterday, but the tornadoes, San Angelo, Abilene included, damaging wind all the way from southern Nebraska into Austin. And just to wrap everything, April now second most tornadoes on record for the month of April.
And if you need to relax, take a tip from this star attraction in San Francisco. Look at all these guys. About 1,000 sea lions lying around on Pier 39. Officials say that's the largest number of sea lions that there's been there on those docks in about 15 years. And they look pretty comfortable in that California sun right by the water, guys. I mean, I wouldn't mind being on those docks right now, that's for sure.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, another reason to head west.
They make a lot of noise, those sea lions.
A ton of noise.
A lot of noise.
Perry, thank you.
You got it.
Coming up here, there's much more ahead on GMA3 on this Wednesday. The new reality in Florida as a six-week abortion ban goes into effect. The Democratic state senator fighting back.
And we're also learning more about the terrifying moments WNBA star Brittany Griner faced as a prisoner in Russia. The exclusive conversation with their very own Robin Roberts on a special 2020 tonight. Come on back.
Welcome back to GMA3. Florida's near total abortion ban is now in effect. The law drops the state's 15-week ban. to a 6-week ban.
And the ban affects women who are seeking abortions and health care providers across the state. And joining us now is Florida Senate Democratic Leader Lauren Book. Lauren, good to see you, and thanks for being on with us.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you?
So you say this is, we're doing well, thank you very much, but you say this is not only a confusing and scary time for those in Florida, but also women across the entire country. Explain.
Well, this is really a horrific day. The reality set in yesterday when clinics throughout the state were having to turn women away because of more complicated laws as it relates to abortion. But really, women across the Southeast received care in our clinics throughout the state and now are being turned away. You know, there are places that women can go, Virginia, Illinois, Maryland, but the waits are going to be long. And this is a really horrific reality that women are having to face today. Providers, it's not hyperbole to say women will die as a result of this ban. Come November, we hope to change that, but this is truly, truly a horrific day in Florida and throughout the Southeast.
Let's talk about this ban because it does come with some exceptions for rape, incest, and saving the life of the mother. What are your concerns?
Look, when you talk about the in-name-only exemptions for rape, incest, and victims of human trafficking, as a survivor of sexual assault myself, to have to force a woman to out herself, to avail herself to a police report, to force those things, to get an injunction in place, to be able to receive a little bit more time, is cruel to do to a survivor of sexual assault, having to grapple with the reality of what has occurred. When it comes to the health of the mother. It is quite ambiguous as it relates to the law itself and the way that it was drafted, and really has created already very, very scary realities for women. Some women are being told to go to their car, turn off the air conditioning, and develop sepsis-like symptoms so that they can receive appropriate care, abortion care, and that's under the 15-week ban because of the way that the law was written. It is scary. It is a reality, and we know that this is going to happen far more. As we've seen throughout the course of last week and this week, the Supreme Court talking about EMTALA in Idaho, women having to be air-vacked out of Idaho to receive appropriate care. That will happen in Florida. We know that abortion is health care. We know that these DNCs and other procedures are abortion care. That is something that women will have to have when it comes to a pregnancy. Not every pregnancy is the same. And this is a very, very scary reality. Whether we're talking about abortion or unintended issues that come along with pregnancy, things that you don't find out about at 6 weeks when you don't even know you're pregnant, this reality is going to be very, very dangerous for women.
And you mentioned, of course, the effects on women directly, but what about the effects on your healthcare system with doctors, OBGYNs, healthcare providers who will literally leave the state because of fear of facing criminal charges, losing their medical license, being imprisoned? What will the downstream and short-term consequences be of that?
We already know that we have a shortage of OBGYNs and ER physicians, quite frankly, in our state. And this is going to continue to compound that issue. You had our governor say, we don't want to imprison women, just the doctors and providers that may be providing or doing these procedures out of turn and without place. The reality is a provider wants to take care of women. ER physicians, OBGYNs, they became doctors so that they could care for people, not so that they can be imprisoned. And what we're seeing and what we have seen, hospitals not wanting to provide care for women because of the imminent risk language that is in the law as it is today and will be going forward. They're afraid to provide appropriate procedures, like I said, sending women into their cars to develop sepsis-like symptoms because that is a more imminent risk to the woman's health. They're leaving our state. They don't want to be imprisoned. They don't want to go to jail for 2 years to provide appropriate health care. And quite frankly, right now they're being told that they cannot provide appropriate care to women in their care because of the law that exists. They're fleeing our state. They're devastated, devastated by having to turn women away who are just coming in for care. And the reality is a horrific one.
a big issue here. Florida Senate Democratic Leader Lauren Book. Lauren, thank you very much for being on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, Robin and Brittany Griner.
New details about the WNBA star's incarceration in Russia, an emotional interview with our Robin Roberts in just a bit.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with a look inside tonight's one-hour primetime 2020 special. ABC's Robin Roberts sat down exclusively with WNBA All-Star Brittany Griner for an emotional conversation detailing Griner's Russian arrest, her time in prison, and finally coming home.
At the Moscow airport, this is Russian customs service footage of Brittany Griner putting her carry-on bags through the scanner, unaware that life as she knows it is about to end, as the agent tells her to search her backpack.
So you reached down and you felt?
Felt the cartridge.
Cartridge.
I'm just like, oh my God, how did I make this mistake?
Russian authorities determined that between the two cartridges is actually 0.7 grams of cannabis oil containing THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana.
Do you know there are those who say, come on, how did you not know that you had cartridges in your luggage? What do you say to the skeptics?
I would say, have you ever forgot your keys in your car, left your car running? Have you ever, you know, where's my glasses? They're on top of your head. Where's my phone? Oh, it's in my pocket. It's just so easy to have a mental lapse, you know? Mm-hmm. Granted, my mental lapse was on a more grand scale, but it doesn't take away from how that can happen.
Brittany is arrested. 134 days into her detainment, Brittany Griner goes on trial in Khimki, Russia.
I had no intent to break any Russian laws. I made an honest mistake, and I hope that in your ruling that it doesn't end my life here.
This is the moment she learned her sentence. 9 years in a Russian labor camp.
And where you're heading to, it's called IK2.
IK2.
Known as one of the worst prisons in Russia.
Yeah.
What were the conditions like there?
Really cold. It's a work camp. You go there to work. There's no rest.
The frigid temperatures affecting her health and also her hair.
People knew you for so long with the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You decided to cut them. What was that like, losing that part of you too?
Honestly, it just had to happen. We had spiders above my bed making nests. My dreads started to freeze. They would just stay wet and cold, and I was getting sick. You gotta do what you gotta do to survive.
An incredible conversation. The one-hour 2020 special, Prisoner in Russia, the Brittany Griner interview with Robin Roberts, airs tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Right here on ABC.
And we'll all be watching. Up next, Dr. Jen's tips for comforting a friend with depression.
It's Mental Health Awareness Month. We'll also hear from a former congressman and advocate, Patrick J. Kennedy. Stay with us.
All right, folks, I'm back now with Dr. Jen talking about a new study that involves teenagers who vape frequently and how they have higher levels of lead and uranium in their urine. So what does this mean?
Correct. Heavy metals in the urine. Big study kind of looking at adolescents who vaped either occasionally, intermittently, or frequently, and found that those who vaped intermittently even or frequently had higher amounts of some of these heavy metals in their urine, lead, cadmium, uranium, not things we want in our body as evidence, proof positive that these are absorbed through inhalation and then metabolized and excreted in our urine. So file this one under the category of not safe, particularly not safe in this pediatric and adolescent population.
Well, we've heard so much about like lead in water and what that can do to a child's development. Like, what does this mean for these
kids? I mean, there
is
the possibility for just the byproducts of vaping these heavy metals to have their own effect in addition to the primary effect, negative one, that vaping can have on the lungs and the pulmonary system and the brain. So again, I think the take home here, if there is a teenager in your life in any way, don't assume that that teenager is not vaping because it has been so common, so mainstream in the last 10 years, and you need to get ahead of that. Just have that conversation.
Yeah, get rid of that, my child would never do it. So what about long-term effects? Is it something that kids will see within the next year or two after, you
know,
seeing something
like this?
Well,
from this in particular, no, and that's the concerning thing, is that heavy metal exposure typically has its toxicity over a longer period of time on the neurologic system. But again, this awareness has to be there, and the education has to be there.
The doctor has spoken. Thank you. Back in a moment.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Goodness gracious, welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. And oh baby, that's a long-legged newborn at the Houston Zoo. Introducing Tino, born last weekend. Surprising zookeepers who didn't know when the birth would take place. Oh my God, that little guy is so cute. The baby giraffe is already not so small, 160 pounds and six feet tall.
Wow.
And counting by the second.
Go H-Town.
You know what I'm going to say.
I already know it.
I would have loved to be there for that delivery. That's
Dr.
adorable.
Love
any
babies.
Kind of baby.
She does, she does. And we love you too. And Dr. Jen is taking a look at some of the viewer questions that are coming in. Here is one for you. Are there certain foods that can help support healthy thyroid function? This is from Kristen T.
The short answer is there are, but also full disclosure, there's not a lot of good data in the peer-reviewed medical or nutritional science literature on this. And most importantly, I hear from people who say, can eating a certain way cure or treat my thyroid condition? There is no evidence, unfortunately, that that can happen. However, if you are diagnosed with a thyroid condition, either an underactive or overactive condition, more underactive, there are some things that your diet can absolutely help with and that you need for the healthy functioning of a thyroid gland. First of all, gluten-free diets have been shown to be associated with just some you know, beneficial feelings and weight management in people whose thyroid is underactive. Zinc, selenium, magnesium, vitamin B12, those are all important to get for all of us, but particularly if you've been diagnosed with a thyroid condition. So again, your nutrition is as important as your endocrinologist if you're diagnosed with a thyroid condition.
Mm-hmm. Your prescription for wellness.
Okay, it has to do with something very serious and timely as we're in Mental Health Awareness Month, but how you can talk to someone that you think is suffering from depression to be a good supporter, a good friend, and help that person. Number one, you do want to talk about your concerns in a non-judgmental, just this is what I've observed kind of way. You want to explain, obviously, to that person that depression is not a weakness. There is no shame in this game, and so they should feel comfortable talking about it with you or someone else. Getting professional help with a mental health professional is obviously always the ideal, although that can be difficult. Always hearing that tip from someone is important. And then express the willingness to help that person. Mm-hmm. Tell that person they will not be alone, that you support them. And listen, if we can do one thing this month, it's to take something like depression and normalize it no differently than high blood pressure, diabetes. Mm-hmm. There should be no stigma.
It's a health condition, mm-hmm. for sure. And if you or someone you care about is struggling with thoughts of suicide, text or call the Crisis Lifeline at 988. Free help is available 24/7.
That is so important. And folks, we would love to hear from you. So hit us up on Instagram with all of your medical questions for Dr. Jen at ABCGMA3.
Aw, welcome back.
Songs
another edition of Deals and Steals today. Tori Johnson has special savings for the special woman in your life, Mama.
That song always gets me every time by Boyz II Men there. And to get a head start on shopping for Mother's Day, just point your cell phone camera to the QR code on your screen and start saving. Tori, what do we have?
Glamour.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about this.
Ricky Loves Ricky. I know you guys love the face masks, which mm-hmm. are awesome, but we also have some really fun. Look at this little, we could take a selfie here and all look good. Get in there.
Hey.
So you add this light right here on top to your selfie. Looks fabulous. We also have these lights that are great for preparing your makeup. There's also another little travel size mirror, which is fabulous. And what's great about these is you get the mirror and then you get the awesome light so that you always look like a star wherever you go. The lighting is the key part, right?
Because so main character energy, right?
100%. So if you've got someone in your life who deserves to always look extra glamorous, these products are for her. These red light masks are like all the rage right now.
Obsessed.
With beauty.
So they really work.
Yes. 10 minutes. It's got a timer on it. 10 minutes a day. Do it while you're scrolling your Instagram mm-hmm. or just taking
in bed
a
before
snooze,
you go to sleep.
Relaxing. Okay. Everything Slash and Half starts at $25 and free shipping from Ricky Loves Ricky. Okay. So we're going from the face to the feet. This is Petit Couture. That was not intentional, but it's turned out that way. So as you see here, they've got these four cushioned pieces right here to protect your pedicure. So there's two things that you can use it for. So one is obviously keeping that pedicure fresh, as opposed to, you know, your toes are wet, your polish is still mm-hmm. wet, and then you ruin it by putting your shoes on thinking it's dry, but it's not. Or if you have tired, achy feet because you've been walking in uncomfortable shoes all day, especially mm-hmm. heels, this process of separating your toes brings immediate relief to your feet. It's something that some people look at these and like, oh, like they don't look that good. They feel fabulous.
Keep them in your purse.
This is one mm-hmm. you want. We've got two different styles. This one's got, feel this one here. This has the extra massaging on it. These are all Slash and Half starting at $15.
Amazing.
Love it.
Okay, bling bling. Can't go wrong with Sterling Forever Jewelry. We have a huge assortment of kind of mm-hmm. everyday staples that are elevated. So we all love, like, the bold earrings are mm-hmm. fabulous. But then there's also pieces with hearts. We've got necklaces that you can layer, mm-hmm. rings, earrings, bracelets, even anklets. The charm bracelets are really fabulous. They're kind of done for you. And what's really fabulous about this is the price. Every option that you see here, $10 to $30
for our deal.
We like that price.
You get a lot of bling for your buck. That's a steal. Okay, this, I'm so excited. It's Packed Party, and it's all about every day should be fun with confetti. Every item has that confetti in
it.
Yeah, so whether it's a fanny pack, a tumbler, a big variety of bags. I love this. It's a little case that goes on your phone. They've taped it down here for me.
Oh, but you can put your cards in it.
You can put your cards in it and carry it right on your phone. Like, everyone smiles when confetti's around. We also have these big tote bags, these two great tote bags, mm-hmm. which are great for beach weather coming up because they're water resistant. So easily you just throw in beach towels and stuff in these. Everything from this company guaranteed to bring smiles. And you can get a lot of stuff for the money because these start at just $6. The tumbler, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You just smile when you look at their confetti collection.
So cute.
All right, what's next?
Okay. This is Pink Picasso. So anybody can be an artist with these paint by numbers. Nice. So that is their new Zodiac collection. Those are easier. These florals that are on the end, much harder. So look at this. They have literally.
Oh, dear Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So this is, you can't really see it on TV. Oh, maybe if I turn it that way.
You can see it.
Anti-screen time. If you want rest, relaxation, concentration, to then be able to make your own masterpiece, these are fabulous. Comes with everything that you need. Yep, we've got all their new Zodiacs, but also the florals are pretty fabulous. And it comes with everything. It comes obviously with the paint by number canvas, and then the paints, the paintbrush, so that you get a nice payoff at the end. You get a beautiful piece of art.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Fabulous.
I'd go with the easy
and
way.
$14 to $23. Mm-hmm. And then finally, from top it off, we've got these awesome bags. I love the little crossbody here.
Yes.
Then we have the totes, and what's great with the totes is they come with this little clutch in it. The prices on these are unbeatable today. We have a huge assortment, even more than these colors that you'll find online, $17 to $33.
These are washable?
Yeah, so I wouldn't put it in the machine, but it's very easy to wash them down.
Yes. That's amazing.
Plus, the material is like a stain-resistant
type.
Yeah,
that's the good stuff.
Yeah, really good.
Put everything in the washing
really
machine.
As is the price.
Because I have a T-Rub that spills.
Tori, thank you very much.
You
we appreciate
guys.
It. And we have partnered with these businesses for all the deals that you've seen today. And to begin shopping, scan the QR code on your screen or visit our website. Some good treats.
Yes. Thanks. Just ahead here on GMA3, the Global Citizen Now Summit is back.
How you can participate. Come on back.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to GMA 3. The Global Citizen Now Summit returns to New York for a third year, bringing together more than 400 leaders in their field to work towards ending extreme poverty.
And our next guests are here to tell us more. Please welcome award-winning actor Denai Guerrera and co-founder and CEO of Global Citizen, Hugh Evans.
Good to see you guys.
So, Hugh, let's start with you. Talk to us about this summit and kind of what people can expect this year.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for having Denai and I on this morning. Really, Global Citizen Now is a two-day action summit designed to tackle the world's greatest challenges. And over the next few days, we have three big objectives. The first objective is to focus on protecting the Amazon, which is obviously the lungs of the planet. And so we have leaders from Brazil, and we're working to raise $1 billion ahead of the COP negotiations next year to try to reforest the Amazon rainforest. The second objective we're focused on is really about making sure that we focus on investment in Africa. So we're calling on the G20 nations to increase their investment to a fund called IDA by 25% so we can provide zero or low interest loans for 75 of the world's poorest countries. And finally, we're focused on supporting women and children in conflict and crisis zones. Recently, Denai gave the most inspiring speech at the UN Security Council focused on protecting women in conflict against violence. And we're going to be driving an action sprint through Global Citizen Now focused on that objective.
So today, how did you get involved in it? Why is this important to you?
Well, I'm a Zimerican, I'm a Zimbabwean American, and so I've always been connected to the issues connected to women of Africa. And really, a while ago, actually, I think it was about 17 years ago, I decided to write a play that dealt with these issues. Seeing women in war and the crosshairs of war is very rare. We just hear about the leaders and their decision making and the count, but you never hear about the women who really deal with the brunt of the issue and a lot of atrocity and brutality. So I wrote a play called Eclipsed based on the Liberian Civil War and got connected with people at the UN as a result of that. And so when this issue has been very important to me ever since, and very much so, unfortunately, has actually increased in number in terms of incidents and countries where this is happening across the world. And last week at the Security Council briefing, it was presented, and it was a very dire what we saw on the page in terms of how many countries are being very riddled with this issue and how many women and children are suffering in ways that are really unspeakable. So it really, it's an urgent problem that I'm very excited that we're going to give a lot of attention to, because the world needs to know it's happening and all the places it's happening, especially the countries that I grew up very close to, like the DRC, Congo, Sudan, and those are places we don't hear about that often.
And you talk, Hugh, about the three pillars or the three objectives, and the event itself, the summit, is obviously incredible. But if people can't actually be there, they're hearing about this or watching this, how can they get involved to help?
Great question.
Well, as Danai said, the first thing they can do is download the Global Citizen app and be part of that action sprint that Danai is championing, focus on violence against women in conflict zones. But they can also tune in from 3 o'clock today on ABC News Live and watch it all around the world, because we want this to be accessible to the 12 million global citizens around the world who want to take action day in and day out.
And do you think it's possible to end poverty in our lifetime?
Well, I absolutely believe it's possible to end extreme poverty, because Nelson Mandela said in his final speech in Trafalgar Square in 2005, he said that overcoming poverty is not a gesture of charity, but it's an act of justice. And it takes all of us taking action. So I believe if all of us band together, we can see enormous progress on the eradication of extreme poverty. We could end extreme poverty within our lifetime.
Thank you both for joining us. The Global Citizen Now Summit takes place today and tomorrow in New York City, and you can go to their website to see how you can get involved. And that is what you need to know for today. I'm Eva Pilgrim.
I'm DeMarco Morgan.
And I'm Dr. Jen Ashton.
For all of us here at ABC News, including our friends right here, have a good one, and we will see you tomorrow. Bravo. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the campaign throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.